Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Open your Bible today, if you would, to the New Testament, to the book of James. And we've been in a series, we're going to end it today, on James chapter 1, verses 1 through verse 8. And we've been talking about things that we need, five things, to get through what we're going through. We're all going through something. We're all dealing with something. And God wants us to get through it and come out victoriously. God's will for you and me is that we win every time, all the time. So how do we do that, Lord? What do we do when we're in a trauma, a trial, a test, a difficult time? We're going through what we're going through. What do we need? Well, we went to James chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. It says that when you encounter a trial, and we need to remind ourselves, it says when, not if. It's just going to happen, isn't it? Because life is broken. So when you fall into a trial, then he lists five things we need to get through the trial and come out as a victor. So the guys are going to have it on the screen. Here's the list. The first thing we looked at in our study together was joy. Can you say that with me? Joy. We're talking about godly joy, a supernatural joy. We're not talking about a joy you get from going to Six Flags. We're talking about a supernatural joy. And we know, many of us, the Bible tells us, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if you have no joy, you have no strength. And without strength, we won't get through. We looked at that the first week. If you weren't with us, what is so cool, because of your giving and my giving, we no longer sell CDs. We basically give it away through our online and our website. It's all free. Second thing we looked at was he said you're going to need what? Endurance. We're going to have to know how to endure what we're going through. Number three, he said you're going to need wisdom. You're going to need a strategy. You're going to need to know what you don't know to get through what you're going through. Amen. You see, we don't have all the answers. Doctors, lawyers, counselors, they don't have all the answers, but God does. God has the answer. God has the strategy today for you and me and whatever we're going through. So ask him for godly wisdom. The fourth week, last weekend, we looked at, he said you're going to need confident faith. You're going to need unshakable faith. Now, we want to land and end today on the fifth thing of the five things. And he says you're going to need to go through the trial without a doubt. You're going to need to go through the trial knowing how to resist doubt. Doubt prevents God from fulfilling what he's promised to do in our life. Doubt prevents God from doing what he's promised to do in our life. Doubt is an enemy. Doubt is a thief. And doubt will rob us what God has promised for us. So we're going to look at that. So I'm going over to the board. We're going to start with the scriptures in James chapter 1, verse 6. Everybody at home ready? Everybody here ready? Everybody across the street, honk your horn if you're ready. Oh, I hear it by faith. Amen, don't you? So only it must be in faith that he who asks with no, what's that word? Wavering. So another word in the Bible when you're reading your Bible for doubt is wavering or to waver. I'll give you one more we're going to look at in our study today is the word stagger. So doubt and waver and stagger are all the same words in the Greek. Doubt means to waver or to stagger. They're all the three same words in the Greek. Only when you ask, you must ask in faith with no wavering and no what? Doubting. No doubting. For the one who wavers or doubts is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. So to doubt is like a wave, and you've been, many of you have been to the beach and you've seen the ocean and the waves come in, and you know, they'll be high and they'll be low. That's what he's talking about. He says, if I waver, in other words, if I say, God, yes, you can on Sunday, but then Monday, I don't know if you will, then what did I do? I doubted, I staggered, and I wavered. Like a wave, it means up and down. In 1 minute and out the next. In faith one day and out and in doubt the next. So the fifth thing you and I need, we need to go through what we're going through without a doubt. We need to go through it without a doubt so we can come out victoriously. We want to go through it without wavering back and forth. One day we're in faith, one day we're not. Or staggering like a drunk person back and forth by our circumstances, wishy and worshy. The Bible tells us clearly right here, if I expect to receive what God has promised, then I have to learn how to eliminate doubt from my life. So again, with no wavering, with no doubting. Verse 7, for truly, let not such a person, what kind of a person? A person who's wavering, staggering, or doubting. Because doubt prevents what God has promised and wants to do in our life. For truly, that person, or not such a person, can imagine that they'll receive anything they ask for from the Lord. Verse 8. For being as he is, a man of what? Can you all see that? Two minds. Can you say that with me? Two minds. At home, would you say it with me? Two minds. So think about the word doubt, and then think about the word double. It's the same root word, isn't it? Doubt and double. To doubt means you have a double mind. And here in the Bible, it clearly, you know, when you want to define a scripture, usually you can define a scripture by a scripture. The word will define itself. So to doubt is the same root word as double, or doubt actually means to have two minds. One day I have the mind of faith, the next day I have the mind of doubt. That's being double-minded. Double-minded, you look at what you're going through and you consider many options. But when you and I are in faith, we're single-minded and we only consider one outcome. And the outcome is you win. The outcome is you will overcome. There's no such thing as two or three options if I'm in faith. If I'm in faith, I'm single-minded. If I'm in doubt, I have two minds. I'm double-minded. Y'all with me, family? So being as he is a man of two minds, which is hesitating, he is or she is what? Unstable. Boy, if we ever needed to be stable, we need to be stable now, don't we? Unreliable and uncertain. If there's ever a time of uncertainty, we are living in it right now. About everything that you think, or feel, or decide. So to doubt, it means to be double-minded. The same root word for doubt and double, having two minds. And notice it says here that the person who is led by, dominated by doubt, they'll be unreliable, they'll be unstable, and they'll be uncertain about their future. The Bible says that you and I are not to be double-minded. The Bible says you and I are to be single-minded. We walk by faith and not by sight. Amen, everybody? So notice it says then that everything, I want you to see the progression at the end of that verse. Would you look there with me, please, real close? Everything that you think, everything that you feel, and everything that you decide. Notice that doubt starts in your mind. Doubt starts in your thinking process. That's where it starts. Did you know that faith starts in our mind? Faith starts with our thoughts. Here it lets us know that everything, every bondage, every addiction, every habit, it all started with a single thought. And then we allowed that thought to become many thoughts. And then the many thoughts became a stronghold. So it all starts with a thought. Notice what you're thinking. Look at the second word in that verse at the end. You begin to feel. And then notice the third progression. Whatever we're feeling, we act out. So if we want to change our actions, where do we start? We start with our thoughts. If we want to change the behavior of your children, you start by changing the way your children are thinking. If you want to change your own life, and I want to change my own life, if I want to change my behavior, I start with my thoughts. Because at the end of that verse, it says, a person who is led by, dominated by doubt, and doubt means double, in the Bible is called wavering, staggering, or being doubtful. And what does it do? It prevents God. It stops God. It ties God's hands from what God has promised that he wants to do and can do in our life. Y'all still with me, family? Y'all doing great today. So it starts with, think about this now, doubt starts with my thoughts, okay? And the big thing is, you and I don't want it to get into our heart. Because anything we have in our heart, whether it's faith or doubt, it started in our head. But it goes from your head to your heart with your mouth. It goes from your head to your heart with your mouth. That's why the Bible says, we're going to look at it in just a minute, you can have doubt in your head, but faith in your heart, and move the mountain in your way. The doubt in your head won't dominate your life if it never gets to your heart. And it gets to your heart through your mouth, your talk, your confession, or your words. Are you still with me, family? Y'all are great listeners today. You must have had your breakfast, amen? Or that cinnamon roll out the Rock Express. Hallelujah. So this is so powerful that we need to understand the thinking, the feeling, and the deciding. That's so important. And so let's look at a verse that establishes what I just said. That doubt starts in your head, but as long as you don't talk doubt, it will never get in your heart. And when I say heart, I'm not talking about your physical organ. I'm talking about your spirit man, the real you. So if faith starts in our head or our soul, but we want to get it in our spirit. Because if you only have faith in your head, all you have is mental assent. You ever heard it works like this? Well, Pastor, I've heard Mark 11:23 before. You've taught on it many times in the last 37 years. I've heard that before. That person, I would say, is mental assent. Because if this verse is in my spirit, I get excited about it every time I read it. I hope you just caught what I said. Because see, people can't move. Christians can't move the big thing in their life with faith in their head. Christians can't move that mountain, which is not a literal mountain, it's a metaphor. It's whatever's big in your life, the biggest thing in your life that's challenging you today, I can't move it just by having faith in my head. By being a Christian and knowing scriptures, I can't move it. It has to go from my head to my heart, because you believe with your heart and not with your head. And a lot of times Christians are thinking, I know that scripture, it's enough, and that's mental assent, and the biggest thing in their life, it's not moving, because they don't have faith in their heart. I've got to get it from my head to my heart to move the mountain. You with me, family? Okay, so let's look at the verse, let's break it down. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Now, you at home, did y'all see that? It didn't say pray. It did not say pray. It said say. Well, what's that, Pastor? I'm new to all this. Big deal. Big hairy deal. It is a big hairy deal. Because notice, you're not to pray for the mountain to move. You're supposed to speak to the mountain to move. What is that? Taking your authority in the name of Jesus by the blood of the Lamb, who you are in Christ, and you're to take your authority and speak to the biggest challenge in your life today and command it to get out of your way. You don't pray for the mountain to go, you say to the mountain to go. Y'all with me, family? I sure do love you. Well, I'm glad we're gathering today. So good to see a face instead of a seat. Amen, everybody? Come on, let's thank God that we can gather. Amen. So verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, now mountain there is not a literal mountain, it's a metaphor for the biggest challenge in your life today. Be thou removed, be cast into the sea, watch this now, and shall not doubt in your heart. Not your head, your heart. You do not move mountains with faith in your head. It's called mental assent. It's called, I know that scripture. I've heard somebody teach on it before. Let's go on to something new. That tells me that person only has mental assent. They know the scripture, and they're trying to move the mountain with the scripture in their head and hasn't got to their heart. How does it get to our heart? With our confession. A lot of word, a lot of confession, a lot of faith. A lot of word every day in the word. Much word, much faith. Little word, little faith. Much confession, much faith. Much confession, taking the God's word and confessing it over your life. What, through that process, it goes from your head to your heart. How many Christians, don't raise your hand, but how many Christians, how much time do they spend daily confessing the word? Because it's only through that process of confessing the word that it gets from my head to my heart. So that tells me, that me included, in this virus that we're going through, in this season we're going through, I've told you before, Kim and I, we've upped our confession time big time, tenfold at least. I am confessing the word 10 times more a day than I did in March the 12th when this all started for us. Why? Because I know that we've got big challenges, and I know that I got to get the word in my spirit. I've got to get the word in my heart in order to move the mountain. So what are we learning at church today? Up your confession time. Increase your confession list. If you spent 5 minutes, start spending 10. If you spent 10, start spending 15. Because that's the only way it goes from your head to your heart. And it says here, if you want the mountain, the biggest challenge in your life to move, you can't doubt in your heart. So that tells me you can doubt in your head, but yet believe in your heart and move a mountain if you're not speaking doubt. Because if you don't speak the doubt in your head, it'll never get in your spirit. We have all woke up in the middle of the night, haven't we? When the devil's told us lies. He's told us all kinds of lies and tormenting our mind and all kinds of doubt. Well, as long as you don't speak it, it has no hold over your life. Somebody said you can't keep the bird from flying over your head, but you can keep the bird from building a nest in your hair. Y'all got it? If you got to say, I got it. Okay, y'all are so awesome today. Let's continue then. Praise the Lord. He staggered not. This is Romans 4, verse 20, Father Abraham. What I'm doing is I'm bringing to your attention doubt, wavering, staggering. Doubt means double, two minds. On Sunday, I have faith. On Monday, I'm questioning if God's going to do it. That's doubt, wavering, and staggering. When we doubt, it prevents God from doing what he wants to do and has promised to do in our life. But the good news is God gave us a cure for doubt. Oh, he's a good God, isn't he? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Wow. So there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible, and maybe there are some of them that you and I might struggle with. We say, boy, it's hard for me to believe that. How do I begin to believe that? It starts with your mouth. Faith starts with your mouth, and doubt starts with your mouth. So you say, Pastor, you know, I know it says that my whole household can be saved, but right now my house is full of strife and contention, and I don't know if everyone can ever come to Christ. Well, you have promises in the Bible, they can. But Pastor, it's hard for me to believe. I understand. I get it. I've been there. I've seen it, okay? And my own, like, aunts and uncles, that was hard to believe for them to come to Christ. But what do? You start taking that scripture and confessing it over your family. And then what happens is that faith will start there. So don't get down on yourself for maybe not having faith for that particular promise. Just take that particular promise and start confessing it. Because it goes from your head and it gets in your heart through your mouth. So we need to increase our confession of God's word, especially in the virus, the season that we're going through. So Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but this is you, right? You're strong in faith. Can I have a witness in the house? Everybody at home, I declare you're strong in faith and you're giving glory to God. You're strong in faith. Come on, let's just say it together. I'm strong in faith. Oh, you sound good. One more time. I'm strong in faith. And I'm giving glory to God. And I will not stagger at the promises of God. Can you give God a big hand clap? Give him a hand clap praise, would you? Hallelujah. And Abraham was fully persuaded. Well, that's the totally opposite of wavering, doubting, and staggering. But you know what? Abraham wasn't there at the very beginning either, was he? He blew it. He made mistakes. He compromised. He considered his circumstances and his age and the age of his wife, Sarah. He did all of that. So he went through process. So don't you be discouraged today. Just stay in the process. Just stay in the process. Doubt starts with the mouth and faith starts with the mouth. So let's just change what we're saying and we can change our life. So he being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. Now, in closing, I want to give you three action steps. What can we do, Pastor? This is very important. Number one, is that we need to remind ourselves that every word we speak in a crisis is critical. Every word we speak in a crisis matters. Why? Because my words reveal if I'm in faith or if I'm in doubt. My words reveal if I'm in faith or if I'm in doubt. So every word I speak is critical. Did you know the Bible says, we're going to read it in a minute, that you and I will be judged for every idle word we speak? Words matter to God, so words matter to us. Are we perfect? No way. Long ways from it, am I? But we want to get in the process, amen, and start working on our mouth. Every word I speak in a crisis matters. Why? Because doubt starts in my head and will get to my heart through my words. Faith starts in my head, my soul, gets to my heart through my words or my confession. So words that you and I are speaking this afternoon will reveal if we're in faith or if we're in doubt. Matthew 12:33. Follow along at home with me, would you? Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the what? Mouth speaketh. Now watch this. This is critical. This is Christianity, victorious Christianity, okay? So what I'm saying, that's what I'm putting in my heart. Then what I'm saying is revealing what I have in my heart. Does that make sense? What's in my heart got there through what I'm saying. And then what's in my heart is revealed by what I'm saying. What's in my heart got there by what I'm saying, my spirit. And what's in my spirit is revealed by what I'm saying. So I know I'm in faith or doubt by what I'm saying. I know what I'm full of. Turn to somebody and just, this is kind of fun, just say, you're full of it. And then say, faith. Yeah. Okay, that woke up Myrtle back there in the back row. Praise God. All right. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will. So our mouth really tells tale on us, doesn't it? Our mouth is an indicator. Our mouth, you know, is that's how it gets in our spirit, is through our mouth. And then what's in our spirit is revealed by what comes out of our mouth. So the next verse, verse 35, a good man out of good treasure of the heart, your spirit, brings forth good things. And an evil man of evil treasure brings forth evil things. But Jesus said, I say unto you, look at this, family. This is Jesus. Every idle word that men shall speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. Do words matter? Jesus, that's in red letter, he said, for every idle word we speak, we'll have to give account on the day of judgment. You look that word idle up in a Greek dictionary, and it says non-productive. Non-productive. Interesting, isn't it? So our action step number one is what? Words matter, so I need to work on my mouth. All right? For by thy words you'll be justified, and by thy words you'll be condemned. So what do we learn from that? Don't change your confession when you're under pressure. Don't change your confession when it's taking longer than we thought. Don't change your confession when your circumstances contradict what God has promised. All right? Hold on to your confession. Number two, as the team comes out, eliminate sources of doubt. Boy, we can really land there, can't we, family? Because the world's full of doubt. Instead of social media, you and I need to be on social ministry. I'll say that again. Instead of social media, we need to be on social ministry. We need to eliminate sources of doubt. Now, this is worth coming to church online, on campus, drive-in church right here. Sometimes we're struggling to grow our faith. And I found out that if I'll learn to eliminate doubt, my faith will grow easier. So what causes doubt? The news, the internet, pressure, negative people, negative thoughts. What am I focusing on? All of those are sources of doubt. When you read something, is it giving you doubt and fear or faith and confidence? When you watch the news, is it giving you doubt and fear or faith and confidence? That person that you hang out with in social distancing, are they giving you fear and doubt or faith and confidence? That's why our watch parties, those of you online, are so important. Our small groups on Zoom are so important because you want to be around people of like precious faith. You want to be around people that's going to build your faith and not your fear, build your confidence and not your doubt. So we need to listen to what, we need to look at what we're listening to, what we're reading, what we're watching, who we're running with, what we're thinking about, what we're focusing on, and if it's causing doubt, you need to eliminate a lot of those things. You still with me, family? All right. So that's the second thing here that we're looking at. And the third thing is this. God's word, and I like this, it's the cure for doubt. Well, I'm glad you gave us the cure, Pastor. God's word cures doubt. So that's why the devil doesn't want us in the word or in fellowship, because he wants us in doubt. Did you know in the Bible it says that doubt is under the curse? Did you know that? The curse of the law. Really, Pastor? Yeah, when you have time, maybe today or tomorrow or this week, go to Deuteronomy chapter 28 in the Old Testament. And the first 13 verses are called the blessing of Abraham. And the rest of the chapter is called the curse of the law. If you'll read the last half of Deuteronomy chapter 28, listed there on the curses, it says, doubt hanging before you every day of your life. It's listed there as under the curse. Well, Jesus went to the cross to redeem you and I from the curse of the law. Can I have an amen? So God's word cures your doubt. Feed your faith daily and starve our doubts. Now, I want you to look at this verse. And remember, here's a test. If we look at that and we say, Pastor, Romans 10, 17, yeah, word cures doubt. I got that. You've preached on that. I know that verse. Then you have mental assent. It's just in your head and it's not in your spirit. But if it's in my spirit, I know, because every time you look at it, your spirit will leap. You'll have joy. You'll get excited. You'll look for new revelation. That's how you know it's head faith or heart faith. So look what it says. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, if you're a note taker, I would write this down. hearing always comes before standing. I don't get it, Pastor. I'm new to this. Well, you read in your Bible, it says, after you've done everything that you know to do, stand. You've done everything that you know to do, and you're still in the fight. What does the Bible say? To stand. But if I haven't been hearing the word, I don't have the strength to stand. So hearing comes before standing. Now watch this. I'm going to show you something you've probably never seen before. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of what? God. In the original Greek, you can get a Greek English Bible, New Testament, and it'll bear this out. In the original Greek language, which is the New Testament, Hebrew is in the old, Greek is the new. In the Greek New Testament, it doesn't say word of God. In the Greek New Testament, it says the word of Christ. The word of Christ. So let's read it that way in the literal Greek language. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Okay, Pastor, I get it. So it's talking about the Son of God, Christ. No, I don't think you get it. Because Christ, look it up, it means anointed. Anointed. So what is it saying? Faith doesn't come until you get an anointed word. Faith to move mountains doesn't come to me until I get an anointed word. You know, I've had the privilege of being a pastor for 40 years, and I've seen people down through the years sit in one service, and one comes out and says, "Ooh, Pastor, that was the best sermon I've ever heard. Revelation knowledge changed my life. Oh, I'm totally, wow." And the other person says, "Pastor, could you teach something different? Meet me out in the lobby. I didn't get anything from your sermon today." Now, what was the difference? Same word, same preacher, two different hearts, two different hearts. One got an anointed word, and one just heard the word. One walked out the same because they just heard a message. The other one walked out different because in the message they got an anointed word. Faith doesn't come, I'll say it this way, until you get a personal word. You got to read the word to get a word. Am I connecting today? You got to read the logos, that means the whole Bible, to get a rhema, that means a specific scripture. You got to read it, you got to keep hearing it and hearing it and hearing it until you heard a right now word for you, and that's called anointed. Then you have faith. Does that make sense? And that faith runs doubt out of your life. But to get an anointed word, you got to get in the word. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, an anointed word. Oh, God's good. Amen. Did y'all get something today? If you did, give the Lord the praise, would you? Hallelujah.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.